attention. They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time. Featuring Joe C.
And then he couldn't fire his glutes later.
Matt Hayes.
His balls are different in person.
And Leon Searcy.
So they were smelling themselves.
Oh my gosh.
With no deal.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
Rocking and rolling on a Beaver Toyota Beaver Chevy Tuesday. Welcome in XL Primetime. 2 o'clock hour. We own it. 2 till 4 this afternoon, right here on the Superstation. And we got Lavernius Coles, a former Knoll, a Jacksonville native. Former Jet. We're going to have him pop in studio to start off our 2 o'clock hour. We'll be saying hello and talking football, draft, and everything surrounding when he was selected and, of course, what his old team, the Jets, are going to do, what the Jaguars are going to do. And as we get things rolling, the chatter out there is, will this football team be moving out of that 17th spot? So we will definitely dig in on that. There's a lot of good stuff that's sitting out there floating on X, on social media, wherever it might be. But you guys can – hit us with some of your thoughts. Just punch in 641-1010, the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, and you can give us a little bit of a take on what you think is going to happen with your Jacksonville Jaguars. Because now it's kind of counting down to the last little part of it as far as what's going to happen with the Jaguars in 17 overall, and also where some of these other players are going to go. We opened up our show yesterday talking about the idea that J.J. McCarthy may move up as high as number 2 overall. In fact, his odds to go from the number 2 overall pick went from 25-1 down to 12-1. So it's crazy, Matt, the movement. He and a couple of other guys have been kind of like the darlings. I guess you'd call them the either the media darlings or the draft season darlings. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
I don't know what's going on here, but if you're watching on YouTube, like there's this.
Well, it looks like you're celebrating a birthday. It's just a bunch of Jaguars balloons. It
kind of
suits you. It makes you look happier, you know?
Yeah.
Like you were a little cranky.
Yeah.
You were a little cranky earlier talking now, right? About the Lakers and whatnot, so I can't wait to get into that. That's for sure. Just the NBA. Let me tell you something. Whenever someone says the refs cost the Lakers and they didn't want them to win, just hear yourself when you actually say that, okay? Because that's taking a win away from the Lakers, Leon. Okay, and I don't think that happens very often. I don't think they're out there going, hey, television wants Denver over L.A. Television wants the Joker over LeBron. Are you kidding me?
Here's another thing. The presser. Matt was just talking about this in the production meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah? The whining that's going on after
unreal,
these games,
man.
I mean, listen, these are some of the most phenomenal athletes in the world.
The best athletes in the world.
Best athletes in the world. And they complain about the refs and non-calls and all this other kind of stuff. Listen, the refs did not cost you a 20-point lead, all right? Listen,
no,
I stood
not.
Up for that. You know, I'm tired of the Lakers breaking my heart. I was contemplating the halftime going to sleep. I needed some rest. And we was up by like 17. I said, okay, we might have this. And I said, some said, don't go to sleep because it ain't over. And then they broke my heart again.
They're a three-quarter team. At least that's what it feels like right now because I love them. And I felt like the last couple of games in Denver, they had a chance to win, and they weren't able to get it done. You had an open look for – it's funny. This is how you should probably frame this. And LeBron James is great, okay? At 39 years of age, he is great. And he goes and he does what he does last night. But this is the way it was framed on X last night. Okay, let me get this right. He had a wide-open look from three and didn't hit it. And in the corner, Murray was completely covered up and hits it for the win. And so that's just the way the game unfolded. One guy was basically unguarded. The other guy was – well, he had AD draped on him, and he was able to make that shot. So we'll get into some NBA – but how about this guy leaning in to this microphone? Let's say a little round of applause for Lavernius Coles, Jacksonville's own, as he sits in here for XL Primetime to talk a little football in the NFL.
Well, you can tell by his attire where his love is. He's a Jet for life now. When I saw that, I knew he was going to come Jet down for sure.
Yeah.
He loves some Jets, man.
All right, lean in on that microphone. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. How about yourself?
Very good, very good. We appreciate it. You know, all of us, either Leon played against you or we followed you and covered you over the years. Tell everybody right here in Duval what you're up to these days, and then we'll talk a little NFL football with you.
Just enjoying retirement, man. I'm working with the 33rd team, Mike Tannenbaum, with them, doing a podcast with them, learning how to DJ, one of my favorite things to do, favorite pastime. And then being a family man, every now and again I get to have a nice cigar with Leon.
Yeah.
So that's one of the great things about being retired and hanging out with him.
Well, first of all, he ain't learning to DJ, all right? He's a hell of a damn DJ, all right? Listen, I freak with the bar where he DJ. It's DJ Press Play. And I'm telling about he get his groove on for sure.
Is that kind of like we all have that thing that if we could do and make of, like you played the game and you made a fair amount of money, but is your true love or passion spending and doing DJ work?
I'm going to be honest with you. The way it kind of fell into my lap was I've owned nightclubs for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And the only part of the business I never got into was actually DJing. And I always thought, looking at the DJ, I'm like, man, how are you doing? It's playing a record. It can't be that hard. And then I actually got into it. I was like, man, it's pretty hard to get done. So a whole new respect for DJs.
Yeah.
But just getting into it and loving it and then finding out you have a different love for music is great.
All right, so let's get into ball. The Jets yesterday sent Zach Wilson packing.
Of course.
Looking for a quarterback. What are your thoughts on the quarterback situation right now, and what do you hope they do with that pick?
Ooh, I've been attacked with this question so many times, but they haven't handled things quite the way I thought they would, period. I mean, they've gotten older. Some people think they've gotten better. They went out and kind of put a Band-Aid over a broken dam, in my opinion, where you have an offensive line that hasn't been very productive at all, and then you go out and sign guys who've been hurt over the past few years and think they're going to come in the last 17 games in a regular season. They're going to protect the quarterback that's coming off an Achilles injury.
Right.
So I would think they would go to offensive line, but I think they feel they probably invested enough money into the offensive line to get things done for the season. Mm-hmm. But my personal opinion, I don't think it's going to be enough. So hopefully we go offensive line, but, you know, a lot of mock drafts have us taking a tight end, the kid out of Georgia at number 10. But the best pick, in my opinion, is the best available offensive line they can get their hands on.
Mm-hmm. He's with us now.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
absolutely, absolutely. Now, what you put your
GM? They tried that now already, and it didn't work. That's now, the only thing that's a little sketchy.
Now, LC, I want you to put your GM hat on. What I did is I went and did some research, and I went and looked at what your needs were. All right, the Jets' needs for 2024 is, like you said, wide receiver, O-line, safety. That's what it is. So I did a mock draft. All right, I'm only going to go to the first three picks. All right, and you tell me if I did a good job as far as your first three picks. All right. Now, at number 10, I got your boy. I got Malik Nabers at number 10. Now, how would you feel if the Jets took Malik Nabers at number 10? I'm going to tell you what I had available. Now, I had Joe Alt available, and I had Bowers available, but I took Malik.
You had Joe Alt?
I had Joe Alt. I did. I had them available. But, see, the only reason why I didn't take him because y'all got Tyron. You got Tyron and Frazier. I know he's a little long in the tooth. The left tackle from the Cowboys. So I let that slide for a year.
He can't.
Bad move?
Very bad.
Okay, right. Well, listen, according to my grade, there's an A on this grade, all right? All right, now your 72nd pick. Now, I don't know, this might offend Aaron Rodgers a little bit. I took Spencer Rattler.
Wow.
I took him as a backup.
Wow. I would assume you can get a backup a little bit later in the draft and bring in another veteran because I don't think a rookie can step in at this point and get them where they need to be, which is what they're trying to do is get to a Super Bowl. So if Aaron has any issues, you think a rookie backup is going to come in?
Well, listen, if I'm on the scouting team, he's already fired me, all right? And the last pick I took the offensive tackle from Yale, Kieron. Right. What's his name, Matt?
I can't remember.
Yeah,
can't go wrong with a smart guy.
So yeah. So those are my first three.
So you got a C minus.
I got C minus right now. C-. Well, I don't keep my job.
You take Joe Alt if he's available because Tyron hasn't played a full season.
That's
true. I don't know, in the last 3 or 4 years.
He's been injury ridden. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That was one of the reasons Dallas didn't want to invest a lot of money into him. So I think us picking him up with the incentive laden contract kind of protects the team, but it doesn't protect Aaron, which is what I was concerned about.
And plus, Joe Alt, I believe in my is we talk about generational quarterbacks. You're talking about a guy you just plug and play at left tackle
and,
turn your back in 10 years and he's still there.
See, but I don't understand this, though. You're willing to take Emajami at in the third round of tackle, but you're not willing to take Joe Alt in the first round.
Well, listen, I slipped, okay?
He's got some Jag in him and some Steeler in him over a Jag.
Right, little Dino Lavrace, he's like protecting people so the Jazz can take who he wants.
Oh, okay, I get it. So he's looking out for his team. I get it.
He's hoping all falls.
All right, that's beautiful. Now, you grew up here in Jacksonville, and then you went to FSU, and then you went to New York. Can you remember what draft day was like, how everything unfolded? Take us back.
Oh, so it was kind of one of them things where I kind of knew where I was going if I went in the first round because originally I was a top 10 pick from what scouts had me at. And then, of course, everybody knows the Dillard scandal me and Peter Warrick got into back then. But then I think, who was y'all coach at the time? Coughlin. Tom Coughlin at the time told me he was going to take me or R.J. Sauer with the 21st pick. So that was one of those things where I didn't know. They brought me in for another workout prior, right before the draft. And I just kind of was in limbo. I was like, if the Jags don't take me, I don't know who's going to take me. I was just kind of left there. So I actually got up and went to Travis Taylor's party out in was it Ponte Vedra? He did his in Ponte Vedra. He was going to be a very high pick out of Florida.
Yeah.
Me and him was high school teammates. So he ended up going 10th pick after he got picked. I went back over to with my family and just kind of hung out.
Right.
And back then we did rounds 1 through 3 on the first day. So it wasn't one of these things where you do round 1, then you got the next day 2, 3, the next day. This thing is drawn out. But so I didn't get picked till about 10 something that night, but I think I was like the 17th receiver taken or somewhere around that. Mm-hmm. And I surely remember everybody that went ahead of me, and I was just like, there's no way that all of these guys are better than I am at that time. But hey, you know, these GMs, they get paid to make decisions, and we get paid to play ball. So my agent told me at that time, he said, "Long, it doesn't matter where you pick, is what you do when you get there."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so don't worry about where you go. Just make sure when you get in, you get hunkered down and you're ready to play ball.
I guess all you can do is keep score, right? Because he went, 78th overall in the third round. So, you can't help but look and say, hey, I'm going to prove people
wrong.
Yeah.
And frankly, I mean, we all love Tom Coughlin here, but, I mean, clearly that was a mistake. R.J. Sauer over the Rice Colts was clearly
a mistake.
And by the
way, I don't know if anybody remembers this. You might remember this, Lavernius, but we were all talking, how could they do their due diligence preparing for the draft and not find out something down in Southern California that RJ may be a little bit of a question mark as far as off the field, because he ended up being a huge question mark compared to, you, like you said, just getting him one little incident at Dillon.
I think a lot of it has to do with just the history of guys being hometown guys. I think they've gotten a little bit over that now. Mm-hmm. But back then, I think for some reason, a lot of guys didn't keep guys at home. I don't think no NFL team. Pittsburgh does it.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and again. Remember, they let Aaron Donald leave right out their backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something about guys. I mean, they're starting to learn their lesson. Guys go somewhere else and do well. But you got to remember, you had Sam Cowart come out of here. Fred Weary. All these guys go other places. Here you guys are right in your backyard. These are guys you get to see on a regular basis.
Now, you know, it's funny he says that, because it was a long time the Miami Dolphins would not draft Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Don Shula did, got arrested that he did not like Miami Hurricanes because of what he saw on TV. And, you know, Don Shula's more of a stickler on, you know, button down or whatever. And Miami was not that. We were do-rag down. So so for a long, long time, listen, I think the years from Miami in the 80s to the 90s, I think he drafted one player from the Miami Hurricanes, and that was Randall Hill. That was like 1990. That was the only guy he's drafted, because for a long time he really didn't like the style of play or the characters that we had on those teams.
It wasn't you guys play on the field, because that showed itself. It was just what he saw off the field.
Exactly.
He didn't think that probably would mesh with what he had going in his locker room or his style of thinking, the way a team should be pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now that you're working with 33rd team with Mike, do you see it differently now, the draft? Are you more of a need guy, or are you more of a best player available guy?
And ultimately, it depends on where we are. Are you rebuilding, or are you?
Let's say you're 9-8 and you lost 5 of your last 6 the previous year.
That's Jacksonville.
You're 9-8,
and you couldn't get 4th-and-1.
And you couldn't get a 4th-and-1 ever, and on 3rd and half a yard, you brought out 10 personnel.
Wow, that's coaching.
That is.
That's coaching.
Or fear of not being able to get off, get that block off.
I mean, believe it or not, the NFL is a combination of everything. You have to have the right guys in the right places, but you also have to have the right staff in the right places that knows how to maximize the ability of the guys that they have on the roster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the guys are talented. So, it depends on what they can do with them. I mean, you get one guy, I say it all the time, we had Eric Mangini when I was in New York. And we couldn't get over the hump. We couldn't break the playoffs. But then you had Rex Ryan come in with pretty much the same team. He went out and got Bart Scott to come in and lead the defense and got him to the AFC Championship 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
The same roster. He didn't go out and draft anybody spectacular. Actually, his draft picks didn't do well at all that came in. Mm. But that roster, his coaching style fit the guys that were in that locker room. So it shows you how things happen. Who else came in? I think Gruden came in after Tony Dungy with the same roster down in Tampa and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's been proven over time that just sometimes the right coaching style comes in and fit with those guys, it works. And, I mean, sometimes a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the players. Players do win the games, but coaches have a lot to do with it also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about motivating men. I mean, that scenario alone lets you know. I mean, you've got to have a coach. First of all, players can tell if you're real or not. Mm-hmm. As soon as you walk in that team meeting room, if you're real or not, and you got one chance to sell. You got one chance to sell. If you don't sell, and then the player's going to be
able to get it back.
You got one chance to sell. And if you come in there with the wrong sell, player's going to do like this.
Mm-hmm. Backing up.
They go back up in the chair. Like, man, this man don't know what he's talking about, man. I'm telling you, that's how we are.
It is funny because I can picture, you know, Mangini was living off a little Belichick resume, whereas Rex Ryan, even though he learned under some great people, he came in and said, this is going to be my personality, my team, my brand.
He was himself.
Yeah.
We all knew that Eric wasn't being himself when he walked in. He was trying to be Belichick over in New York.
Yeah.
And when you see through that, it just causes guys not to really want to – you play for him, but you don't run through a brick wall for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you know you go that extra mile to help a guy win. I mean, and it showed on the field. I mean, we played hard, but we were supposed to be better. I think we went out and got rid of Chad Pennington 1 year and then bought in Brett Favre. And when Brett came in, it changed the whole dynamics of the locker room.
Yeah.
The year before, it was like, okay, this is my way or the highway. And then Brett come in, and Brett was like, I'm not doing that. This is what we're doing. And he's backing up off of Brett like, okay, if that's what you're saying. We're looking like, well, hold up, buddy. You did us like this last year. So you got 11 guys or 10 guys in training camp learning the offense, and you bring one guy in the middle of training camp, and we all have to drop our offense to learn what he knows.
Yeah.
That said a lot to the team. Like, whose team is this? Is it your team or is it his team?
Yeah, who's in control?
Yeah,
who's in control? That's crazy. All right, keep you for one more segment. We'll talk a little bit more. We got Lavernius Coles, Jacksonville's own from Rebalt, and we'll talk a little bit about the draft and what we think. We want to put out an X poll with the top four receivers in this area and then maybe one that Jacksonville's looking at. So we'll ask you about those cats coming up as well. Beaver Toyota, Beaver Chevy, they bring you today's show, and I'll invite you. They are there to wow you, but just want you to go check it out. Check out the lineup, BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com, BeaverChevrolet.com. You will find an unbelievable selection, SUVs, pickup trucks, luxurious cars, economy, whatever you're looking for. Check out both of them. Lavernius Coles, we're going to talk a little FSU as well as some Jacksonville Jaguars and New York Jets football coming up.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Prime Time, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Cool to hang out with Lavernius Coles, former Rebalt star, FSU star, New York Jet, as we are hanging out XL Prime Time on a Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota Tuesday. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, and RJ spinning it right now. See, RJ may want to come in and kind of do a little DJ work too, Lavernius.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he might be ready to go too. All right, so we got Lavernius Coles for one more segment, and we're talking either Jets football, Jaguars football, or sneaking a little FSU. If you guys want to hit the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010, we can sneak it in. Have you paid attention to those receivers that are at the top of the board? Have you taken a look at it? Because, like you said, you're doing a little work on 33rd team with Mike Tannenbaum. You look at, obviously, Marvin Harrison, and then you look at Malik Nabers, and you go down the line, and you start taking a look at Roma Dunze. What do you think of this class of wide receivers?
I think they're very deep, and I think if they have a big run at receivers at the top of the draft, they may end up overrunning themselves later on because it's such a deep draft. And then what happens is you get a run of top wide receivers get picked up in the first round because everybody believes it's going to be the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then those receivers that you think are going to fall to the second and third, you can pick up later, start getting picked up higher in the draft.
Yeah.
And then you may end up getting bitten behind later on, which is what I don't like want to happen to the teams.
No.
That's what Trent Baalke says all the time. You know, the board, and we make fun of him for saying this, but the draft board, the way it plays out, basically dictates what you pick.
Yeah.
There's runs all the time, right?
Yeah. And I mean, and you understand that right now the game has went to a passing league, so everybody need deep threats and people that can stretch the field to make things easier for the running game because a lot of teams have gotten away from the running game. And to be able to make the running game a bit easier later in games, you need a guy that still can threaten the field. Look at what Tyreek Hill does for the Dolphins. Yeah. I mean, he is a game changer, and if you ever come up and decide you don't want to put a safety in the middle of the field, you're going to get your feelings hurt. So guys like that, when you start getting those guys picked up, and I think we had a guy break the 40 record this year,
He
probably ended up going higher than he probably would have just because of his speed. I mean, most guys probably had him going late second, maybe third. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked he'd get picked up late in the first round.
Yeah.
Well, so you're saying just like the quarterbacks, because I believe a lot of these quarterbacks get overdrafted, and I think that once a couple of go – then other teams worry about, you know, not getting their guy. I mean, the same thing would go to receivers.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to receivers. If a certain guy go, I don't know which guy it may be, but other teams might want to jump on wide receivers and overdraft the guy just because they got to fill that need.
And, I mean, it's a huge investment, and I didn't understand that until I started working with these guys in the front office about how they value these picks and how much money they put into them. So when they look at these guys and they have a need or they have some guy that they have on the board and they may not have him going until third or fourth round and he may be there where they can pick him up maybe late in the second or late third, and then they get a run on that position, then, like I say, GMs panic. That guy comes in, if he doesn't pan out, then that's when their jobs start being on the line at that point, because you told me this guy was going to be productive. And these owners, believe it or not, I mean, much as I love the owners, a lot of them don't know nothing about football, but they do know production. They know when the guy's catching the ball and selling jerseys. That's what they do know. So if he ain't coming in and doing that, your job is on the line if you're picking him that high. So I get it, but, you know, it's just one of those things where teams have to really be careful about over-investing in these guys and make sure that that's what they really want when they make those picks that high.
Let's keep that theme on the quarterback part of it too, because we know people are going to overdraft at that position because they feel desperate. So you as an accomplished wide receiver, what do you immediately look for or lock in on a quarterback knowing that this dude can run the show for us?
To be honest, I've never really looked at a guy and said he can come in and do it. And I don't understand why a lot of these teams do that. I think you don't know because people be like, well, he did this in college. And I say, well, I have to break it down for people like this. I'm like, think about it. Unless you're at the University of Miami or Alabama, maybe a Florida State, Michigan, a lot of these guys that come from these schools, they maybe see one or two guys on the field with them that are actually going to play at the next level when you think about it.
When
you're looking at it from that perspective and he's out there ripping it up, I'm like, well, who is he doing it against? I mean, if he come in and he do it against Alabama – like the quarterback Stroud did against Georgia when he was playing, he lit it up against. I mean, that defense probably had three or four first rounders, probably another four second rounders and third round. That's when you can tell a guy's got something special about him. But if I mean right now at my age, I'm what 40 going on 47. I probably can run around some high school kids right now and give them the blues.
Yeah,
it's a given. I think Leon could probably pass that maybe about four or five times. give him some Gatorade and some Band-Aids.
You can go for it.
He says extra point all the time. That's all he's got in him right now.
These hands are still registered.
So I'm just saying your level of competition means something at that level. So if he's doing it against stacked talent, I get it. But if he's doing it against some mediocre teams, you have to look at what he's actually doing against them before you give him that pat on the back and say this guy's ready to go to the next level and rip it up. So I think we have to be cautious about a lot of them guys too, because I mean, Peyton Manning, everybody knew he was going to be that guy.
Yeah,
I mean, when he came out, because he was Peyton Manning. But then you had guys come after him, they've anointed, ain't really done much. So you have to look at it like that. I don't like calling people names out like that and putting it on them.
Yeah, but still, just that Manning versus Ryan Leaf. Who was Napoleon said he went to bed, and he wasn't quite sure he was going to select. And obviously he made the right selection.
I mean, so you have – but it's a lot of guys that have picked out. I mean, I'll say Zach Wilson because I've given him a hard time since he's been with the Jets. But it is a struggle to come in and be productive. He did well in college. When I watched him, I didn't think he would translate well to the NFL. But that was just my opinion. Those were my eyes. A general manager had to make a decision and say, I think he translates well with what he does. Now, it hasn't translated yet. That doesn't mean it won't under the right tutelage and the coaching that can come in and probably hone his skills on the right offense. But it's going to take some time now because, one, his confidence is fractured. His playing ability is fractured because he's been beat up. I mean, the guy should be gunshot. He was getting hit in the face by bullets every play for 2 or 3 years. So he's going to have a lot of work to get back to what they thought it could be, but it's possible under the right system.
Do you see Trevor Lawrence being that guy? Now, you've seen 3 years of him now. Is he a guy that can be a franchise type, get you to the playoffs, maybe get you a deep run in the playoffs guy?
He's shown flashes, but the coach Peterson was the guy that was supposed to take him to the next level. You have to ask yourself, have you seen the next level out of him since he's been here? I mean, he hasn't gotten you to the playoffs. He hasn't done much more than he had done the previous year. I mean, of course, I mean, he was in a bad situation, but he hasn't taken that step the way you say, okay, this guy is our guy.
From 2022, you mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, you have guys come in and, you know, they get the right coaching staff. I mean, I'm not saying it is the coaching, but you have to look at everything around this kid because he was supposed to be the next Peyton Manning. What we were told, Peyton had a rough rookie year, but every year he got better after that. Has he gotten better year to year, in your opinion? Has he improved his team year to year, in your opinion? I mean, those are all significant questions you have to ask because now you have to invest money into him at this point. And I'm not talking about a little bit of money. If he's going to be your franchise, you're going to have to back up the Brinks truck. So,
oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So do you think this guy can get you to the Super Bowl? Because that's what every team asks themselves year in and year out. And before the season starts, every team puts a picture of that trophy up or they're talking about that trophy before the season. Mm-hmm. And in your heart of hearts, do you truly believe that he can take you to the Super Bowl? And if he can't, then the GM probably sitting up down his wallet trying to figure out where he going to get his next meal at if he doesn't. I'll tell you that much. It's a rough situation to be in.
Yeah. My whole take on Trevor is that he doesn't impose his will onto the team, so to say. Outside of 2022, during that back half when they made that
in the
playoff
Chargers
run,
game, yeah.
In the Chargers game.
They won a playoff game here.
Yeah,
so
they
won
a playoff game.
Sure.
And, you know, they should have beat KC, but, you know. But I just don't. As far as posing as well, I mean, his fingerprint is not on this team yet, in my opinion. That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen enough of greatness from him for me to say this is your team. Mm-hmm. And I played with a guy, although he never took it to a Super Bowl. He had moments of greatness. Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
Mark Brunell, I tell people all this time, in the huddle, as an offensive lineman, as a team, you know when you got your guy.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. because you know when you step in that huddle. Because I tell people this all the time. 96, when we played the Broncos up there in the divisional round or whatever, and we were up by 3 points with 3 minutes to go, and we knew it. We gave John Elway the ball back. The game was over. And we had to find a way to score a touchdown, right? So Mark Brunell runs in the huddle, and he claps his hand, "Hey, fellas, you having fun yet? Ain't this fun?" I mean, that confidence, that quiet confidence about it, he said, "Hey, listen, let's go out there and let's win this game." I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone – who can insert themselves in the huddle and make everybody around them better by his belief system. I just need to see more of that from Trevor than not.
It's going to be a huge step this year
because
that contract is coming. It may come before this year starts, that's for sure. All right, so let's use that step into the huddle guy because that's what Jordan Travis was last year for FSU.
Yeah.
That cat, the individual, I'm just so impressed with just being around him for the amount of time that he's been playing up there in Tallahassee. They now change. They go to DJU. What do you think of what Mike Norvell has done in the time that you've been around FSU, and I know as a former star there?
Well, I think he's had a culture change in that locker room. Those guys are about winning again. I mean, you could tell just by the way they're playing. I mean, that defense, of course, was amazing just watching them play the few times I did get a chance to watch them last year. And I think, you know, the guys love him. I haven't had an opportunity to get over there. I told you I'll be over there for their big man camp. I actually get a chance to meet him and be around some of the guys. I think Ron Dugas is my former teammate, their wide receivers coach. But these guys, man, they've stepped it up. I mean, I don't really claim them like that, but,
yeah.
I mean, I'm proud that they're actually back winning because when we were there, it was about winning. I mean, we lost a game, man. It felt like it was the end of the world. And I'll tell you a story about my first time in the league. I mean, we lost a game in college. I would cry. I mean, it's like everything just hurt. And I'll never forget, I got in the NFL and we lost one. I think we lost our second game and Vinny Testaverde walked by me and I'm crying. He's like, "Man, what is wrong with you? Man, we lost." He was like, "Man, you're going to be doing a lot of crying. You better cut that out."
But when you play college ball, it was the golden years of Florida State and Miami. That was everything.
I mean, and your pride, you laid it on line. So, needless to say, they're back there. They're back there where these guys are taking pride in playing ball and happy to be on the field and winning and playing for each other, which is the most important
thing. Does it hurt young dudes today to lose, do you think? I mean, they're different guys now. Leon talks about it all the time. They're different guys. It's a different person now. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's just different the way they've grown up. Do you think it hurts the young guys to lose now, or they're just like, we'll go to the next
one? Well, I mean, it's business for them now. I mean, right now it's not the same. I mean, like I say, NIL has changed everything for everybody. I mean, these guys back in the day when you didn't play, you figured out a way to work your way back into the rotation, whether it was I'm going to get on special teams to show coach I can play or do something different to try to help a team or even go to the whole opposite side of the field to play cornerback or play safety. Or if I'm at safety or somewhere else, I'll come over and play H-back or do something to fit into the team because you wanted to play. You drove yourself to get better, to be a part of the team and be a part of a winning team. Well, now, whether you're winning or losing, guys, like, I just want to play. they'll get up, jump in the portal, and try and figure out something somewhere else. Well, for me, winning was important. A lot of people don't understand. You got to remember the wide receiver room when I was there was packed at Florida State and the running back room. So you got to think, when I first walked through the doors, you had Randy Moss, you had E.G. Green, you had Andre Cooper, you had Peter Warwick. And then later on,
so
had,
it's unreal, man.
Then you had Anquan Boldin, you had Javon Walker, you had so you got to think of a list of guys.
NFL.
And Javon was a high draft pick too.
Yeah, so you got all these guys that can play. So you have to figure out where I can fit in. So it wasn't I'm just gonna jump in the portal. You figured out a way to play, and you made coach find a way to get you involved in the ball game. So I think today it is giving them a way to get out of being competitive. But for some guys, I don't think there's any teams that are loaded like that anymore where they have to fight to be competitive, which is what they're going to have to be at the next level. Because what we're talking about now, the draft, you can't escape that. That's coming every year. Mm-hmm. A team is going to pick every year. And it brought a lot to my eyes when we were sitting in that room. And I think we had 13 guys that were rookies make my team. And the guy that was speaking to us that day told, he said, for you guys to be here, that means somebody ain't here.
That means because there's only so many spots in the NFL compared to
college where you can.
All right, a couple off the text line, because before you go, you got to tell people what you're doing. One of my favorite dudes lived in my neighborhood over by First Coast, was a beast at FSU. Go Noles. One of them asked if, let me see if I can find this, any truth to the rumor LC ran a 4.19 40?
Yeah, several truths to it. They actually made me run it four times before they gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
You ran 4.19 four straight times?
Actually, the first time I ran was 4.16.
Golly.
Thank you for everything, Mr. Coles, from Noles fans everywhere, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of good ones there.
Awesome.
All right, so what are you doing now? And you got to brag on your son.
Well, I was telling you guys, I'm back in school now, so I should be done in 3.5 months. California Coast Online School, and it's all because my son, he's going to Harvard, so he always told me I never started something I didn't finish. And if he got into Harvard, I would finish school, and he's into Harvard going to grad school, and I'm thankful that he's in, so I'm back in school myself.
That's pretty cool.
That's
pretty cool. Well, listen, man, we appreciate it. Hopefully no stranger to XL Primetime. Pop in from time to time. It'd be cool.
Thank you for having
talk a little
me.
No ball, and then we'll see whether or not you're going to rise to the level of a Mike Tannenbaum and be a GM of the Jets here.
I don't think I'd be any good because I talk too much noise.
Yeah, but, hey, Ron, before we go, is he, like, just set to go healthy as far as what you hear up in New York? Because I'm telling you, that was a drama-filled season, four plays into it.
From what I hear, I mean, I've been watching the videos. I've been able to see him at practice. He looks pretty good right now. But, again, when that thing turned live and people start diving at them ankles and knees and you have to start running for real, it can get a little fishy. But we'll find out real fast where he's at. I mean, because right now I don't mean nothing. I could be as healthy and what we call them guys, them no-shoulder pad soldiers we got out there. We need guys that can play.
Diaper dandies.
Yeah. We need guys that can play when the lights come on and it means something. So let's see what happens then.
All right. Thank you, man. Lavernius Coles from right here in Jacksonville went to Rebalt and hanging out with us on XL Primetime.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
We appreciate them and everybody else that tunes in to XL Primetime hanging out. 2:45 XL Primetime with Joe C, Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy. Thanks to Lavernius Coles for hanging out with us for a little bit. It does take you back in time, and I'm sure there's a lot of Duval out there that can definitely identify with this. A, there's been so many good players that have come out of the city of Jacksonville and the First Coast, for that matter, for decades. But there was a time when you had Reigns and Rebalt, and you could go to Andrew Jackson, and you, of course, can go to Reigns and Lee. And you start
and those Reigns-Rebalt games were just
you start
legendary.
Thinking some of the great talent that came out of the city went and played. And then it took a little bit of time for it to kind of rev back up again. And then, obviously, we've been treated to a lot of great players here of late. But I'm telling you, man. So many good ones.
Well, see, that the Reigns Rebalt, it was equivalent to down south, the Northwestern, St. Thomas Aquinas's, the New Orleans, the Centrals, and all that kind of stuff, all that amazing talent down there. That's what Reigns Rebalt was at that particular moment with all those amazing athletes coming out that area.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it also reminds you, as Matt said, when Lavernia has rattled off the players that were already in the wide receiver room or in the offensive meetings for Florida State, the amount of players that Bobby was getting, mm-hmm. and at the same time Miami was getting, Florida was getting, oh my gosh, there was so much.
So let me tell you, before Randy left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll throw Randy, E.G. Green, Andre Cooper, Philip Riley, Peter Wark, Wayne Messam, Ron Dugans. All of them played in the NFL.
Yeah. 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 Tremendous. Tremendous. All right. Speaking of that, Tallahassee, I tell you what, Corona. This is a Corona call it. All right. You want to hear something cool? These are good numbers to go back and do. So let's do it right now.
He's going to drain it. It all comes down to this.
Oh! How'd you call that?
Game recognized game.
All right. Let's see if you guys can call it. A little Corona call it. Think about Cinco de Mayo. We've got Corona inching towards that big holiday. As a matter of fact, we're going to have Trace DeMaio next Friday. We're going to be on location at La Naperia, right there on Beach Boulevard. So we'll invite you to come on out. But let's see if you guys can do a little Corona call it right now, where you call your shot, see if you can get it right with that talent that came out of Tallahassee. I am counting, as I look at it right now, 1, 2, 3, 4 schools that have had 5 number one overall picks from their university, all right? So 5 number one overall picks from 4 universities. Can you call it?
USC's one.
All right, so say it again.
USC.
All right, you got your little ding set up, RJ? Now, I could make this really tough and see if you guys can name them. So we'll do that in just a second, but keep going.
Ohio State.
No. No Ohio State. Oklahoma.
There's another ding.
Let's see.
Come on, sir. You got to get in here, man.
Alabama?
Hmm?
Alabama. No, 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 no. Georgia, maybe.
There it is. One more.
That's 3. One more?
And this one should not be too hard.
Notre Dame?
It's old school. Yeah, it's old school. Man. And so you're probably not going to be thinking of too many number one overall picks that came from Notre Dame.
I might be able to get the USC
vintage.
So 5.
No, you
USC?
Got 4. That's all.
No, I'm saying the actual
that's
players.
Players. Yeah.
All right. So Southern Cal,
Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was OJ
give
one?
Give me the
was
damn OJ ball.
Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
Was OJ? No, OJ wasn't number one.
OJ was number one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's 3.
Yeah. Another one of the great running backs that came out of Southern
Mike
California.
Garrett wasn't number one overall, was he? No. Another quarterback, I bet.
Jim Plunkett.
A big lineman and another running back. Who?
Ron Yeary. And another running back.
Yep. And this is when they were rocking and rolling.
Marcus Allen?
No, it was right around the Charles White days, if I remember.
Anthony Davis?
Nope.
I don't know who.
Ricky Bell.
Ricky Bell. Yeah.
All right, so let's go
Bell
Georgia.
Bucks, right?
Georgia, you got Trayvon.
Trayvon.
Herschel.
Matthew Stafford.
Herschel was one overall with the United States Football League.
Yeah, right? But that doesn't count.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford. Yeah.
You didn't like that one, huh?
And then you got a couple of old school guys. Charlie Trippi.
Yeah.
Frank Sinkwich. And then had not heard of Harry Babcock. Just had not heard of him.
Great name.
Great name. Notre Dame had 5. You go back to the Paul Hornung days. You got Angelo Bertelli.
Meyer wasn't one. Meyer one overall, or he was 2? It was him and someone else.
He was 2. All right, so go Oklahoma.
All right, Baker, Kyler. Were there any other ones under Stoopsy? Billy Sims.
Billy Sims is another one.
Mm.
Remember the guy who helped start the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise, number one overall?
Lou Orsum?
Yep.
Mm, that's 4.
And then one more, and he did play under Stoopsy.
He did.
Because Stoops says, I go to the press conference, and someone's talking about them being an underdog against the team they're playing. And he says,
Sam Bradford.
Yeah, exactly. And he definitely was ready to rock it. That's when they ran the most plays in the National Football League. All right, there you go. Corona, call it. Give him some credit.
Oh, how'd you call that?
Game recognized game.
We always forget Sam Bradford for these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Always.
Exactly. All right, thanks to Corona, call it. My Corona cat, Matt, This dude came up with this one, Maddie, my beer guy, you know, and love him. And he says, come on, let's do something fun. Let's do something fun like that. So that's a little Corona call it. And don't forget, pick up some cold Coronas as you get ready to celebrate a long Cinco de Mayo weekend next weekend. And we will be out and about Tres de Mayo next Friday. Looking forward to it.
We always make fun of, like, not make fun, but we always say, wow, Kirk Cousins, how much money he's made. Sam Bradford made just ungodly amount of money.
He was the last
for being
guy,
an average quarterback.
He was the last guy to basically go in and get that big huge contract in the first
pick overall.
Yeah, and
he's the reason why there's a rookie that. Scale.
Exactly.
I think his contract was like $76 million, $50 million guaranteed.
It was,
and they collectively bargained after that.
He earned $130 million in his career.
Who's that, Sam?
Sam Bradford. Whew.
God bless him.
How many games did he start? Do you have him?
I don't have.
It's honestly, he kind of bounced a little bit, played well for a while, but he was a guy that had to deal with injuries and wasn't the most put-together guy. He was a little brittle. And
really good kid.
Yeah, he was good.
Well, I mean, in college when I talked to him, 1.25 million per touchdown, he averaged.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. All right, by the way, real quick, we might as well just stay on this with the Corona call it. Auburn has had four number one overall picks. Cam Newton, Andre Bruce, Bo Jackson, Tucker Fredrickson back in the day. Stanford has had four.
Plunkett.
Elway.
Elway.
Plunkett. Plunkett. Yeah. Luck. And Bobby Garrett going way back in time. LSU's had three, including Jamarcus, Billy Cannon, and Joey Burrow. Ohio State's had three with Orlando Pace, Dan Wilkinson, and old Tom Cousineau back in the day.
Dan Wilkinson. Wow.
Yeah, Texas is the only other team that's had three. Kenneth Sims, Earl Campbell, and Tommy Novus. And that he was Mr. Falcon forever, right, when they first started that franchise.
Canes have one?
We have two.
Yeah, Miami has two.
We have Vinny Testaverde, and we have
Russell
Merlin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that was Coach Campo and them when they made that selection down there.
And you got two number one overalls in the supplemental draft with Bernie and Steve Walsh,
yeah. Supplemental. I love it. Hey, we'll count it. Whatever you can count.
All right, we'll do it, man.
We'll keep it rolling. XL Primetime into the 3 o'clock hour. Thanks to Beaver Toyota, Beaver Chevy. The Beaver boys, along with Linda, they are there to wire you. They will definitely take care of you. The salespeople, the service people, all outstanding. My man Boyd are running that service department. They can all get it done for you. Just log on, BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com, BeaverChevrolet.com. Let's steam into the 3 o'clock hour, our X poll question. RJ, go ahead and throw that out there right now because we've been getting some traction on it, and we asked Lavernius Coles about the wide receiver position and just how good those guys at the top are, but we set it up a little differently.
Yes, our X poll question brought to you by Beaver Toyota, Beaver Chevrolet. So we gave you four players, Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey, and Roman Wilson. We're asking you to predict the order these guys will be drafted. Go on X at 1010XL and give us your response.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
XL Primetime, 3 o'clock hour, cranking it out. Thanks for hanging out with us. Beautiful afternoon if you're cruising around. You are locked in on 1010XL if you're in the office. And you got us on the stream. Wherever you might be, we definitely appreciate it. That's for sure. XL Primetime, thanks to Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota on this beautiful Tuesday. I'm looking at odds of the draft picks as far as who's going to go where. We mentioned that J.J. McCarthy has gone from 25-1 to now 12-1 to be the number two overall pick, which is just crazy. Another thing you can bet on, Leon, the primary color of Caleb Williams' nail polish. You can bet on that too, if you want to. If you want to, there's
clear.
Plenty of other.
Huh? What's clear going for?
All right, let me get clear.
Here.
You've got black is the betting favorite, +150. Orange +200 because you're thinking it's going to be Chicago Bear orange. White +500. Pink +600. Blue +700. Green +1000.
Okay.
So there you go. You got to make the decision.
Stand my error.
Okay. Who will the number one overall pick hug first? Mom, dad, girlfriend, agent. Who did you hug first?
Would I hug first?
Yeah.
Mom, of course.
Of course.
Mom gets the hug first.
Yeah, you lose money. Yeah. You lose money if you don't bet on mom.
Yeah, plus she was crying, too, so I had to console her.
Yeah, have you guys, like, seen the Peyton Manning promos for the draft where they have the hug dummy up there on stage?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That
I
is
like pretty cool.
That is.
Because dummy. You know Roger Goodell, he's doing his push-ups, he's doing his curls, he's getting ready to do as many bro hugs as he possibly can.
You know he gets some bruised ribs, too, after that night.
Yeah, I would think so.
What's the over-under on him getting lifted? 10? It's gotta be, that's got to be a betting line.
That's got to be a line,
because the big uglies always, when they give him a hug, they lift him.
They pick him
Most
up.
Most of the defensive tackles do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, he will go for that long embrace.
He'll be a flight a couple of times.
He's swiping tender when he's up there. He's just holding on to him as long as he possibly can. All right, so let's get into the Jaguar draft conversation and the idea that they might be moving up. But first, let's hit on that real quick as far as what's happening with the draft.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So our buddy Pete Prisco, friend of 1010XL, you hear him on the Frangie Show often, once a week actually.
Mm-hmm.
He came out with his final mock draft, and he's joined the growing chorus of draft analysts who believe that Jaden Daniels should be the number one overall pick. He's got Jaden Daniels going one overall to the Bears.
Ah.
And he says, yes, I think he will be the best quarterback in this class. He's the most improved player I've ever seen in the course of 5 years. That's a big statement. That's impressive. That matters. He will be Lamar Jackson-like. And then he has the Commanders taking Caleb Williams number two, and he says, I keep hearing generational when it comes to this kid when talking to scouts, but he needs to clean up a lot of stuff for me to make that claim. Having said that, there's a ton to like. He will be a damn good player.
Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams.
See, it's kind of unfair because Jaden Daniels was the best athlete I saw all last year, period, point blank. He was the most dynamic. He was box office. I mean, I was looking for LSU games on TV because of Jaden Daniels.
That's a great way to put it. Box
I was
offices,
looking for,
yeah.
It was box office. Even the game they lost against Ole Miss was classic. I love that game. His running ability, his scrambling ability, his elite arm.
Got split in half by the Alabama? Was it Dallas Turner? Turner who almost killed him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He got a little chin check.
There's a lot that he does well. By the way, real quick, Prisco also has Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. in the draft as well.
Prisco's
Malik Nabers going
there.
Four overall, the Cardinals and Marvin Harrison Jr. going five overall to the Chargers. There's a lot to like about Jaden Daniels. I think what I like most about him is the fact that he can go off schedule, and he can make throws on the run, on the roll, under duress, accurately.
Yeah.
Accurately, he makes those throws. That's what I really like about him. The only thing I don't like about him is his size. It's the only thing, because I just feel like he's going to get hurt. I mean, he's going to have to get a lot bigger. Now, I can say this. J.J. McCarthy wasn't the biggest guy at Michigan.
Right.
In the last 4 months, I mean, I stopped the show yesterday, and I saw him, and I was like, my God, he's changed his body in 4 months, J.J. McCarthy has.
Yeah, he looks – he does. He looks thicker, like he has put on weight.
So it's not like it can't be done is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we saw Lamar Jackson do it. Lamar Jackson was – he looked almost frail coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Look at him now. He's 200, almost 240 pounds.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy looks like now, like Matt Damon from Ocean's 11. He's just all fired up and ready to go. But it's such a crapshoot. Like the Jaden Daniels tape that I'm sure a lot of scouts fell in love with watching – was him against Florida because of the record-setting numbers, that three-game stretch, including the Ole Miss game, some of the numbers he put up. Heck, they should have put the 40 time on him when he was out running Florida defenders. Just picture that tape, okay? Mm-hmm. He ran for 51 yards on that one scramble. I've got his numbers here somewhere just as far as the total number of yards he had in that one game. It is just insane what he did against them. And so, yeah, that was tape that would make GMs, head coaches, quarterback coaches, coordinators all fall in love.
Yeah, absolutely. In college, it looked good. In NFL, he's not going to be able to run like that.
No.
He's not going to, but that window's going to close. Not only the passing window, but your escapability. When you get out, he's got to learn how to, like any other quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you got to learn how to. You got.
Well,
learn
he will how, run.
Yeah,
I
he
mean,
will
Lamar
run.
Lamar figured out how to run.
Yeah,
how
absolutely.
To get down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's going to learn how to get down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Lamar figured out quick he's got to get down.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden Daniels will too.
There's no question is that you figure out, and any of these guys figure it out, I can't take the shots, I can't take the hits, I need to be able to find the sideline as my friend. Don't run to it, but use it when you need to. and understand that instead of trying to run for 10 yards and get blown up, throw for 14 yards, throw for 18 yards, whatever it is. Draw a defender in and then get rid of the football.
I always go back to what Hollywood Brown told me. This was probably 6-7 years ago. And he was like, look, I've been the smallest guy on the field every single year I've played football since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I figured out a long time ago how to get out of bounds and how to get down. And it's protect my body. So these guys know it. It's not like they don't know it.
No. And there have been running backs like Emmitt Smith who said you just needed to lean and have just a feel and a rhythm and roll with the guy who's bringing you down when you know you can't. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. These guys know how to get to the ground. I'm not talking about the hits you see coming.
Right, the ones you
don't. I'm talking about the ones you don't see coming.
The ones you don't are the problem, right?
Those are the ones those are the problem. Yes, no those are the ones the problem.
Yeah, those will blow you up.
Yeah.
All right, so we said in our XLP Big 3, do the Jaguars move up? Do they move down? Are they stuck at 17? So what's your gut right now, Matt? Because we're sitting there and we're trying to figure this out. We asked Lavernia about those wide receivers and just how good they are. I've got that mad wide receiver love for Roma Dunze. I really, really do, as far as the work ethic and the playmaking ability that he has. But what type of
– My gut is they're more likely to trade back than trade up. That's number one. I think you just got to look at what Trent Baalke has done since he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded back in to get Devin Lloyd, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't – they're very conservative in what they do. Like, and last year should have showed that to everybody. Because if you have that many picks – and if you are desperate for a guy that you feel like you needed a receiver, you needed a corner, you'd have traded 6 picks to move up. So and he kept saying nobody would trade with him. That's just not realistic. He couldn't get the deal he wanted is what it was.
Which is fine if you say no and the other ones are trying to fleece you of picks and you're not getting value. I'm okay with that. I just felt like he should have been able to orchestrate with as many
picks. Right, so that's kind of my idea. If they do move up, if they find a way to move up, I mean, it's clear that they want to be in position to take a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're taking the best corner because the best corner might fall to them at 17. So I my guess is what they do is they stay right where they are and they take the best need/player available.
Hey, you're comfortable with that?
No, but I'm just telling that's what they're going to do.
That's what they're going
to
do.
I hope like Fuego falls to them. And all of a sudden you've got a massive guard/tackle, the kid from Oregon State, Talese Fuego, who can play guard for you right away and can play tackle if you need him to in the following year.
So if he's in a position like at 14, 15, he's not there, move up and get him. Go get him.
Oh, man. If Fuego hasn't picked it like 14. After 14 picks, yes, I would move up to get him.
Yeah, but it's funny because we're doing some mocks and we're seeing Joe Alt float because the potential is that you could have, let's just say it's a combination, if a 4-quarterback, 3-receiver run – and then you have to jam in at least one of those defensive linemen, be it Verse, Turner, or Murphy. Mm-hmm. Murphy's now moving up, which is still a little bit of a head-scratcher to me, that Murphy is starting to gain a little traction. Byron Murphy, we're talking about, big interior defensive lineman out of Texas, which I like. I would like to get him. But I also think to myself, Devontae Sweat and Byron Murphy were interior stars for the Texas Longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he getting all the love and Sweat isn't getting all the love? And by the way,
Sweat's heavy.
Yeah, but Sweat was
no. I mean heavy.
Oh, he's heavy. He's 4 bills.
I mean, yeah, that's why.
What'd they say he weighed in?
366. Yeah, 366.
That was a big fib, man. That was just nothing but a big fib. But the other thing is that he was. Let me see if I have the number here. He was the either Outland or whatever the big trophy was for the big defensive lineman, and also the defensive lineman of the year in the Big 12.
Byron Murphy, yeah.
No, Sweat.
Sweat?
Yes.
I thought Byron Murphy was.
No, Sweat's someone getting – Sweat had the accolades, and yet Murphy's getting all the love. And so it is a little interesting. And maybe it is just because of how –
Well, it's also why, you know, Jordan Davis got all the love and Jalen Carter was clearly the best player.
That might be a good example because one guy's a space eater that may just be primarily playing the nose, whereas the other guy is going to be that 3 technique that's going to be able to –
Well, I mean, which one do we need? Do we need someone just occupying space, or do we need someone that could get to the quarterback and clog up the hole?
I mean, you need Talese Fuego is what you need.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I would love to see.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, we do.
I would love to see Eric Armstead and Byron Murphy in some combination.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I'm rooting for Devon Hamilton. Devon Hamilton's a bigger man, more experience, all that kind of stuff. But that interior part of the
defense, you want that rotation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Believe me, that's what a lot of teams. If you can start rotating guys on D-line, mm-hmm. you're in good shape.
And just don't ignore it is all I'm saying. I think that is a crucial position for this football team.
So we talked about Leon brought it up. And he said, what if Fuega's still there at 15? Do you trade up to get him? So looking at Jimmy Johnson's trade value chart, okay, which every team in the league uses now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a point system. It's basically each pick is given a number, point number, and you, that's how you figure out what you owe and what a trade would be. So let's the Jags are at 17. The point value there is 950. Mm-hmm. The value at 15 is 1,050. So you got to make up 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to make up 100 points. So to move up to 15, you got to give them the 17. Which is what they're going to want. They're not going to want it made up any other way.
Just swapping those picks.
Then make up 100 points somewhere around the other way, somewhere the rest of the draft. Now, the furthest down you can go to get 100 points is the 100th pick, which would be in the fourth round. So my guess is, I don't know who's at 15. Whoever's at 15 is probably going to want
You got Indianapolis right there.
The first or the second, third that you have. And the Jags would probably give them the second, third, which will be somewhere around the, 110 point values. That's what it's going to cost you to move up two spots.
Yeah, so you're only and you're trying to get over your rival, too, by doing that. And that's also important as well because you talk about needs. Both teams are going to be looking at some similar needs when you're trying to figure out who they might be going to get.
Yeah, no, I mean, no question. But I think you're against your rival, but I think you're also – I keep saying this. You have got to look at this thing through the lens of Trevor Lawrence. If you truly believe – and Lavernius Cole was talking about this earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You truly believe he's your guy, you got to do everything you can – to put him in position to reach his ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they haven't done that, the line. They just haven't.
Mm-hmm. No, and I
specifically the middle three, I should say.
Yeah. I will applaud them for making sure that they didn't have the same center going into this offseason. I will applaud them for that. I will applaud them for making a move to go get Ezra Cleveland to do something interiorly because they weren't winning enough of those one-on-one battles. But I'll also criticize them and say that they haven't done enough to necessarily know they can go into this next year 100% with that trio inside and give Trevor more time to throw the football.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I applaud them for what they did center-wise. I mean, you made Fortner initially the scapegoat for all the interior problems, but he wasn't only the problem. Listen, I watched that Titans game. I watched the Ezra play. I watched Sheriff play. Those guys, they couldn't win stale. They couldn't get stalemates half the time. I mean, I was praying for a stalemate in half the games. They were giving up penetration. Okay. So you've got to address the interior of the offensive line. It's got to be a lot more. What did Trent Baalke say? He said about 2 months ago, this team has got to get more physical up front on both sides of the ball. How do you do that? You go get a player.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same.
You're not lifting weights. You're going to get different players.
You're going to get different players that are going to affect, the mentality and the physicalness of both sides of the ball. The only way you do that is that you've got to change the personnel, not roll with the same guys you ran with. You can't run it back.
No, that's the part that's the scariest part right there is that you do not want to find yourself in a position where you're going, okay, we stood pat. We changed one position. And I like the idea that you guys have embraced as far as drafting a tackle. But I got to know if it is Fuanga that he is competing and playing inside.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know that. I can't have another tackle that's being drafted and you have four players, talented tackles, whoever you draft, let's just say, along with Anton Harrison, Walker Little, and Cam Robinson. Can't have four of those guys only playing two spots. Somebody's got to be able to step inside with the versatility. And you start looking at some of them. Fuanga's the closest thing you can get to that.
Fatano is too. I think they both would be good.
Either one of those guys,
I think, can play guard for you.
I started looking at number of starts that these guys have had.
Either one of those guys, Joe, would be a massive upgrade from the interior lineman that you got right now.
I'm going to look and see what I have Fasciano as far as starts go. And I completely understand, Leon, when you they could have looked at you at Miami as a guard or a tackle, but they said you're more talented. Yeah,
Fasciano's tackle.
Therefore, you're going to play tackle, right?
I was drafted to play guard. I was drafted.
No, I'm talking about at Miami.
Oh, my. I played tackle at Miami.
In other words, they never even said.
No, they even entertained it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they didn't entertain it.
Because you were one of their better linemen.
I was an athlete.
I'm saying that to basically say that Fasciano, even though he never played that position in college, he still could play interiorly.
Mm-hmm. He would have to.
Well, I think I mean anyone can play it. I mean, right. Joe. They just said there's no way
we're not going to waste him. Inside.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, like Walker Little could play it. Is it gonna work?
Yeah.
Right. We're not even serious into it. And he hurts himself.
Yeah. That one was scary. That's for sure. All right. You guys hit the text line. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. 641-1010. Jump in on that subject. Let us know what you're thinking as far as because it's countdown time. As far as the moves that they might make, move up, move back. Stay where they are. What position is going to drive them to go in one direction or the other? Let us know. It's XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime. Brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Getting into draft grades, value, everything else that's going on in the world of the National Football League. Thursday night, center stage, the NFL draft will take place in Detroit. But all of Duval, a lot of you anyway, will be heading down to the bank. Make sure you go to Jaguars.com, get all your information, and be part of the party because the broadcast will originate from there. And you'll have Frange, Logs, Baselli, all of them on. Big Search, you're going to do something special Thursday night as well.
Yeah, the Jaguars gave me an invite. I'm going to be doing Q&A questions. You know, this is the 30th anniversary of the Jaguars, so I'm talking about my time here, my draft time experience and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be me, Scobie, and say his name right, Plzalski.
Plzalski.
Yeah, it is.
You better get that right.
I got to get it right.
Yeah.
I work on it.
Yeah. Just say pause.
Pause. I was going to say pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Plzalski. Pause. That's easy to do.
I think I like that better.
I think Pete Prisco may have been smoking the pause when he's got Michael Penix moving all the way up to the 11th pick in the first round.
He's not the only one.
Okay. Honestly, I know it comes down to the end where you're trying to figure out exactly what these teams are going to do, and he's got a lot of movement. He's got a lot of guys that are moving up much higher than I thought. Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans. I do not want to see that happen. Mm. I do not want to see a guy that you could put on lock at that left tackle position inside the AFC South, but that's who he has.
This is his, by the way, it's a mock, but he calls this his what they should do draft.
Right, right.
So it's like, he says, I know what they're going to do or what we're hearing, but this is what they should do. In other words, it's his true mock.
And look, who loves quarterbacks more than Pete does? Kid.
No one.
Yeah, nobody does. And that even rivals, like Matt Hayes may rival that quarterback love, but nobody has.
I think that happened
love.
Like through osmosis by sitting next to him with the Times Union so many years. He's a quarterback guy, believe me.
Will we, and we'll kind of play around with this thing as we go along tomorrow and then on Thursday as we get to the official draft day. But your gut right now, when you think of what happens with that number 4 pick overall, really you could start anywhere. Do the New England Patriots get someone to jump up and jump into that number 3 spot to take one of those quarterbacks? Or would the Patriots just be nuts not to take one of those quarterbacks? Because depending on what happens with that number 3 pick, then number 4 really could get crazy.
So, I mean, they got the number 4 pick, right? Or they got the 3.
They
got
the 3 pick. Arizona's 4.
They need a quarterback, don't they? Unless they don't buy you.
They got Billy Zappi.
They got Billy Zappi? Yeah, he's a barn burner. Why not just take one of the quarterbacks? I mean, unless there's a team behind. I mean, what team behind? I mean, the Raiders the Broncos. I mean, you got to figure the teams that need quarterbacks that may move up.
You're trying to figure out if let's just say, Matt, are you going to assume that New England stays pat and picks a quarterback?
No, I think if anyone in the top 5 that's going to move, I think it would be New England. I think they're probably a little gun shy from Mac Jones.
Yeah, because he is
not that that's Mac's fault. I'm just saying I just think they're a little gun shy.
Which is I guess understandable, and they're also trying to turn the page from the Belichickian way and everything that was going on up there. And they basically said we want our phone to ring, we're open for business. The same thing is being said by Arizona. So I do think that if that third pick somehow, some way, a Minnesota, a somebody like that jumps in, then it really can change things dramatically. If it doesn't happen, and you have 3 quarterbacks that come off the board, then you got Arizona at number 4, and is it a Marvin Harrison? Because, hey, you've got Kyler Murray down in the desert begging them to give him another legit weapon. And so Marvin Harrison Jr. makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. I mean, he may be the only sure lock, I would think, at the wide receiver position based upon it.
I don't like the fact that he didn't do anything. I just don't like it.
So here's the chatter I've heard. Kind of.
Wait a minute, so you're putting red flags on Marvin Harrison. Mm-hmm.
Not multiple, just one. I don't like the fact that he didn't run. I don't like the fact that he didn't run at the combine or his pro day. I don't like it.
Did he run the Big Ten championship? I'm asking a question. Did he run in the Big Ten championship?
No, he didn't. He didn't.
He didn't play in the Big Ten championship?
No, because they didn't play in the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, good shot. I like that. I should have said, did he run against Michigan?
Yeah, he
run against
Michigan? That was the smart ass. Look what happens.
No, the Big Ten championship. I could have been talking about the Big Ten championship 2 years ago. Which one?
Again, didn't make it.
Uh-huh.
I said again, didn't make it.
That's two
now, if you're going to say, right, if you're going to say, did he run against Utah in the Rose Bowl 3 years ago, I'd have said, yeah, he did, and he looked pretty damn good, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're the one that says your play is your resume.
Yeah.
Go throw on some film.
Yeah.
You know, don't get the combine eyes, the pro day eyes, and don't be all engulfed with these players
by them running straight
line routes.
Yep.
And then you're the first person saying, well, he didn't run, I don't like him.
Because if you're picking that high, mm-hmm. three overall, don't you at least have to hesitate just a bit? Maybe even just like a little pregnant pause? Why didn't that dude run?
Well, here's a bigger question. All right.
Was he injured
mm-hmm.
or what? He just doesn't perform well in drills.
Okay.
Like, what is it?
Well, I blame y'all. Tape. I blame y'all, the media. I blame y'all. Because y'all didn't take any shots at him.
He just stepped away.
Y'all didn't take any shots at him. And it had more so to do, if that was Shedeur Sanders, if Shedeur Sanders next year comes and does exactly what—
If Shedeur Sanders doesn't throw at the combine or the pro day, he will get crushed.
Yes. Why did Marvin Harrison get crushed?
Why didn't he?
I know why he didn't get crushed. Because his daddy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. But we don't know. We don't know. What if the Patriots at three picked Malik Nabers? What if Marvin Harrison Jr. falls?
So here's Pete. Here's what Prisco said, and this, like Matt set it up on CBSSports.com. It's what he thinks, if he were in charge, mm-hmm. the team should do. He says, I like Nabers more than Marvin Harrison, which is why this is the pick. Nabers has more wiggle in my mind. Both will be great, but my preference is Nabers. So I think Pete, and I love Pete, but he's falling into the same type of trap. I still think Marvin Harrison over time has been as good as it gets. He didn't have a very good quarterback up there throwing
the
ball.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you had the Heisman Trophy winner throwing the ball to these guys. The mass majority of the Nabers and
Brian Thomas.
I mean, the Ohio State quarterback, he's not even there anymore, is he?
Well, he had C.J. Stroud throwing the ball the two previous years.
How'd he look?
In that Rose Bowl?
He looked pretty good.
When he had like 300 yards receiving, that was because C.J. Stroud was throwing the ball. So don't give me that Jaden Daniels stuff, man.
No. What I'm saying is the fact that LSU had Jaden Daniels this year.
Right.
And I'm saying that his quarterback,
Ohio State.
Oh, so
you're using it as a negative against him.
Yeah, I mean, his quarterback was limited. He's not even there at Ohio State anymore.
I mean, he had five catches for 118 yards against Michigan because they basically just couldn't get him the ball because McCord couldn't get him the ball. His tape is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal player.
So mm-hmm. when Pete says, I like Malik Nabers, he's got a little more wiggle, and then I hear that number, I'm like, I don't need to see wiggle. I need to see play.
Yeah, again, it has nothing to do with how he played, Leon. It's just if I'm spending a top three pick, that's a lot of money. It's a big investment, mm-hmm. and it's a big pick. There's a little bit of red flag for a guy who doesn't want to run at either spot. In a controlled environment at his own pro day, he doesn't want to go out and run.
All right, you guys, let us know what you think. 641-1010. Hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You got the choice. Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. Which direction would you go in? Our ex-poll with our wide receivers. RJ, give us some thoughts there as far as what they're thinking.
Absolutely.
Those guys.
With our ex-poll question, we gave you four players. Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey, and Roman Wilson. We're asking you to predict the order in which these guys will be drafted.
I mean, honestly, for all we know, Xavier Legate could be the best receiver.
Xavier
Legate could be the best receiver in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, mm-hmm. we don't really know because receivers are they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere on the board.
What's his grade right now? Second? Late first?
Late first, early
late
second.
First?
Leggett had one of those 30 visits with the Jags. And so there's another one that obviously could be in the conversation. We included Roman Wilson in the conversation with the one that we did, but there's no reason to think that ex-Leggett won't be a guy that they'll be looking at. And I think he comes after the guys that we just listed. That would be mid to late second for Leggett?
It depends. I think a lot of people see him as DK Metcalf. I think he goes in the first. I think he might be late.
Right.
He might end up like on the,
you've got him.
He might end up with the Chiefs, which, you know, make a lot of people happy, I'm sure.
All right. So one other one that was put out there, Aaron Wilson put this out earlier. Cam Hart, who we have mocked quite a bit in our mock drafts, day two draft target, has basically visits scheduled with the Commanders, Bears, Giants, Jags. So Jacksonville, one of the teams looking at Cam Hart. And then I was looking for ex-Leggett. I'm almost positive there was another one that put him in there as far as having a scheduled visit with your Jacksonville Jaguars. Speaking of Duval, we've got AW Dynamite tomorrow night. We got the draft down at Daly's Place in the bank Thursday night. And then we got Rampage Friday night, right back at Daly's Place. RJ, are you going to give somebody a chance to win some of these tickets?
Absolutely. A pair of tickets to AEW Collision and Rampage on April 27th at Daly's Place. 641-1010. Be caller number 3.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
Murray makes a move. There's a Stein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Talk about lit it up. There was a lot of conversation on social on X last night. That lit up for sure. Don't forget American Electrical. They are powered by professionalism, and they can definitely help you with your next next electrical project, be it commercial or residential. Log on American-Electrical.com. At the end of both of these games, Leon, there might have been a few calls that could have been made. Refs might have swallowed the whistle. But in the end, LeBron did have an open look for a three. It was tied. Miss, nobody there to clean the glass. Ball goes down the other end. Last shot to the right. Jamal Murray makes his first, I believe, his first ever walk-off winner in the association. And AD had him covered okay. Wasn't like completely blanketing him, but he had him covered. That happens. And then the end of the Sixers-Knicks game was nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, but listen, Lakers, I said this earlier, Lakers break my heart. Kept me up late. Made me a believer, made me trusting them up by 20. You know, and all of a sudden, the third quarter, they want to shoot jumpers. Nobody's attacking the basket. Nobody's getting any rebounds. Let the Nuggets back in the game.
They're a good.
And this is what happens. This is what happens.
They're a good 36-minute team.
They are.
That's what
absolutely.
They are right now.
They absolutely
because
are.
It's just a different deal when they get to. And you're right. They did let go of what was a. All right, put it to you this way. They had a 20-point lead. Then they had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And still, like you said, might have settled for some exchanges where they weren't staying with that level of intensity. You could have left Mile High with at least one win. That's something that LeBron and company and AD will have to live with.
And listen, you have a tendency to overreact after game one because they had a lead in game one and they let that go by. But getting game two is important. If you get game two, you're going back to the house 1-1.
Yeah.
You got the clear-cut advantage. This is why this game, too, was so important that they get it. And they started off like they started in game one. They started off well. They played well, built up a big lead. And then by halftime, third quarter, they just let it slip away.
It'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, they drive you crazy.
It will. And by the way, there were plenty of muggings and maybe even some assault-level charges that could have been leveled.
I was staying out of this because I wanted
the
you
end
to
of,
just –
At the end of the Knicks Sixers game, it was unbelievable the way that thing unfolded, and there was not a whistle to be found.
Good.
Well, look, I'm okay with
it's
I love
playoffs,
the idea.
Man.
Oh, okay. So now, if you just tell me that there aren't going to be any fouls called within the last
minute,
then let everybody go do whatever they want.
I'm saying at some point, look, And I was telling them on this earlier. They're the best athletes, and it's not even close in professional sports. All this whining and the feet and legs flailing when they're taking shots and holding their hands up after they make a shot and they think it was an and-one and they didn't get it. And just play. Just play because it's the playoffs. You're not going to get
everything. Gran Torino talking right now.
It's not Gran Torino. Yeah. It's the playoffs, man. Yeah. You're not going to get that.
I get it. But at the same time, I'm looking for a reasonable.
The same thing in the NFL, like with receivers and corners. You're not getting those calls in the playoffs.
Sometimes you are. Sometimes you are.
Well, see, but here's the thing, man. The temperature in the room early kind of lets you know how they're going to call the game. And if they're letting stuff slide early.
Which is what Darvin Ham said.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, man.
Consistency is really all you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking for. Just be consistent.
Yeah, so it drives you crazy. All right, so let's get back to the Jags as we count them down. The 17th pick, your Jacksonville Jaguars own. All of Duval can't wait to see what they ultimately do, if they even stay at 17. But we've been counting down 17 years of the 17th pick overall. Let's hit it with 2021.
With the 17th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Alex Leatherwood, tackle, Alabama.
Raider Nation, you guys will get an offensive lineman who will work his ass off to any means necessary for this team and this organization, and you will not be disappointed. I promise you that.
For 1 year.
And how'd that go? How'd that work out?
He lasted 1 year with the Raiders, started out tackle. Couldn't play tackle in the NFL, moved him inside to guard, released him after one season after signing him to a $15 million guaranteed deal as a 17 overall pick. Released him after year one.
But what happened? I mean, because that sounded, you know.
So then he signed
with the Bears, and the Bears placed him on the reserve non-football illness list. So he's got
non-football illness list.
He's got some problems.
Wow.
That he had to deal with.
And then
they released him at the end of the season. They released him in August of 2023. Then the Browns picked him up in August of 2023, signed him to the practice squad, and his contract expired at the end of the season.
And this is a situation. This is where when we argue back and forth and Matt screaming, big man, you can miss on these big men too. There's only so many of them, but you can miss. And so – this is like I always have a tough time figuring out which Alabama player is great because they've got great around them or they're making the other ones great, which is hard to figure out sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you've had a few of them. Obviously, Cam Robinson came out of there and has been pretty dang good. And then you've had others like Jonah Williams, and you can go Alex Leatherwood and a few other ones, right, Matt, that have come out of there.
Sure.
And just have not been able to be the same level of player.
But that's where you've got to rely on your scouts, the guys who have followed these cats for 3 years and 4 years, and know them and know everything about them. And then you've got to rely on the due diligence you did in the four previous months leading up to the draft,
right?
And understanding what's the value there. So there's no doubt you can find a busted offensive line. You can find a bust anywhere in the draft. The whole thing is how do you avoid them? You avoid them by working. You do your work.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about earlier, the all-time bust. Leon, you had that list of guys, and one of the guys that's a Jacksonville Jaguar was on that list, top 10 bust of all time.
Justin Blackmon.
Yeah.
He was at number six.
And there's really no way that you – well, I shouldn't say that. I mean,
he had –
Like we argued that there was – he had an incident. There's no question he had an incident. Mm-hmm. But let's just go back to Lavernius and what we were talking about with him. Mm-hmm. There are things that you do that you get in trouble for, but how far down does it knock you down a draft board? He ends up going in the third round. Justin Blackmon, everyone said, if you don't take him, we're taking him. And so he was drafted fifth overall. Mm-hmm. And unlucky for Gene Smith, it did not work out. And for all of Duval, it did not work out because he was a dynamic.
Right. Well, first off, none of us are angels, okay? Let's make that number one foundational here, okay? Yeah. But the difference is, how do you let it affect you? And are you the same? Are you that person at your core, or are you a different person at your core?
Yeah.
So Lavernius Cole clearly was a different person at his core. Mm-hmm. So and there are other guys like that. There are other guys where that's who they are at their core. That's what I mean by you have to do your due diligence. You have to literally talk to everybody you can possibly talk to about these guys and figure out who and what they are.
Yeah, because most of the guys that come into the league, they are who they are, and money only intensifies it. And so you've got to find out what kind of character you've got coming in, what kind of work ethic you got coming in, all that other kind of stuff. Because guys just don't act the way they act. They
randomly.
Shown, yeah, like, randomly. Exactly. I mean, I don't want to keep getting on RJ Sauer, but you know, RJ just didn't come to Jacksonville and start acting up. He had to have done it in college in some capacity. And
consistently. Yeah.
Yeah. So you take that, and then you come to the NFL, and you've got money, and you've got time, and you've got – it intensifies. So whatever problems he had in college is going to intensify now that he's got money.
Plus, I also think the days of coaches saying we can change and we can fix them are over. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's they now see the investment, and they see the clock is ticking much faster, and the window of opportunity is much smaller now for everyone, not just GMs, not just coaches, but players too. So it's now you have to perform, and you have to perform right away, and you can't miss. So the idea of, well, we'll get him in here, and we'll work with him, he'll be good, we'll straighten him out, you can't do that anymore.
No. You essentially, as a player, have to understand that you have a two-year window. You have a two-year window. And that's long. That's far from when I was playing. Some teams will give you the benefit of the doubt throughout the extent of your contract. And then maybe if you're worthy of an extension, they get your extension. Now, if you don't show some kind of productivity within 2 years, now the exception may be in some instances, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks are getting a little longer leash.
Although now it's starting to shorten.
It's starting to shorten. Yeah. It absolutely is starting to shorten. Absolutely.
I mean, if you're the Bears and you've invested this time into Justin Fields and you give up on him after 3 years, mm-hmm. when you really haven't helped him that much.
No, you did not.
That's a big move.
Yeah, you didn't make it an impossible situation, but you made it almost a nearly impossible situation because he didn't have line protection. He only had really one guy that he could consistently throw to. They had to go out and get him to bring him in.
Well, let me ask you this question, man. How much was that his fault or the fact that you got Caleb Williams coming in the draft?
I think it's a little of both. It's a little of both.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also saw that kid play in college football. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He can throw the ball. And you've seen it in the NFL. He can throw the ball when he has time.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a situation where, he's just not a good player. I just think he needs to get in the right system.
Well, it's going to be next team up. I mean, because next year, I mean, you got Carson Beck, who's going to more than likely be the first pick overall, and you're going to probably have another team that's bad that's going to give up on their quarterback maybe way too early to get somebody that they feel that can just start right away, like Caleb Williams.
I don't think this is the beginning of this. I think if anything, it's going to be more accelerated, the process for quarterbacks, where you now are going to see these – they're going to give up on quarterbacks in 2 years, not 3 years. It's mm-hmm. just going to be we don't see it.
Right.
We got to move.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the clock, like you described, is just way fast. Off the text line, there have been plenty that came in here with this Justin Blackmon conversation at the end, and I agree with most of you that, it's kind of the what could have been, because the games that he had in a Jags uniform, over 200 yards receiving, just absolutely taking over games, machine-like when it came to mm-hmm. running patterns, getting open, turning upfield, he represented a lot. He was probably a tough guy to pass up on. It's just a shame that it didn't all come together for him, that's for sure. We are done. We've got one of our own coming on tomorrow from right here in Jacksonville. Pop Howard will be joining us, current Gator, former Gamecock.
Former Gamecock, yeah. Right.
The former star right here in Duval on the high school gridiron. So we'll say hello to him tomorrow, and then we'll be getting close to the draft. We appreciate Lavernius Coles dropping by and hanging out with us today. Thanks to Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota. Both of those dealerships will take care of you, and Linda says they are there to wow you, and she means it. They'll do it, so make sure you check them out, BeaverChevrolet.com, BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com. We are done. We got to make room for the Frangie Show. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, and RJ, have a great afternoon. You got the Frangie Show coming up next.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers.